Hey, Rocketeers, this is your host, Greg Webb. If you want to hear more awesome audio adventures and are looking for a way to support the show, sign up for the brand new Rocketeer Club membership. As an official Rocketeer Club member, you will get access to the entire Purple Rocket Library ad-free. You'll also get access to exclusive series, like our fully produced sci-fi epic, Norb, or the improvised bedtime stories I tell to my kids. You'll get activity books to accompany each of the seasons. I'm releasing one per month until I'm caught up. You'll get discounted merch, book formatted read-alongs, and an app for a seamless listening experience. You can also gift a membership to your friends and family. So visit purplerocketpodcast.com or click the link in the episode description to sign up. Again, to get more audio adventures and help support the Purple Rocket, go to purplerocketpodcast.com or click the link in the description and sign up for an official Rocketeer Club membership. Thank you so much for your support, Rocketeers. And now, back to our show. Previously on Camp Dino, Bo and his friends ventured into the cave under the Spring of Ancients. They found Toot and the other missing dinos within a crystal cavern. When they went to leave, a Gigantosaurus awoke and chased after them. Using a tracker, Bo and his friends led the huge dinosaur to Mama Rex. The two dinos fought. Giganto almost defeated Mama Rex and Buck, but Bo's broken emergency bracelet set off a frequency that hurt Giganto's ears. Other campers soon joined in, breaking their bracelets and adding to the noise. Finally, Giganto retreated to the spring, and all of the missing dinos were saved. And now for episode 16, The Parade. The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Camp Dino and the Spring of Ancients. Everyone was up late the night after the rescue. Kids celebrated the return of their missing dinos. Counselors marveled at the sudden appearance of a Gigantosaurus and discussed how to proceed. Many of the campers relived the day's events around a bonfire in the gathering hut. Bo didn't join them. Make no mistake, he was glad they'd gotten Toot and the other dinos back, but he was worried Buck and his mom were scared off for good. Between the fight with Giganto and the deafening bracelet broadcast, they were probably on the other side of the jungle by now. Bo imagined them using the skills Mama Rex had taught Buck to survive in the wild. It gave Bo some comfort knowing that Buck was now ready to hunt for food if he needed to. Trying not to think the worst, Bo grabbed a pillow from his treepie and laid out on the thick branch, gazing up at the stars. His eyes immediately went to the constellation of the T-Rex head, Gallifar the Great. If there was some great ancient dino spirit up there, he hoped it was watching out for Buck. Early the next morning, Pa and a few counselors set out for the Spring of Ancients to make sure the Gigantosaurus had actually returned to his lair. Bo, Zeta, and Gavin served as their guides. Zeta proudly brought her Triceratchariot along. She stood in the rolling trash can like an empress. Only her misbehaving triplets could break her heroic pose. Toot! Get your behind out of Scoot's face! Shoot! Stop biting your sister's foot! Shoot, Scoot, and Toot were too excited to listen to a word she was saying. She was lucky they didn't stop and wrestle. Zeta had forgotten how much the three siblings fed off each other's energy. With Toot back, it seemed all they wanted to do was fool around. She never heard toot so gassy in her life. Beau, Gavin, and the counselors kept their distance. The stench alone was enough to keep a wide clearing around the chariot. Pa walked up to Beau, hands in his suspenders. Looks like we'll be able to have a full parade after all, thanks to you and your friends. I'm sorry I doubted you. You were right to, Beau admitted. It's a miracle we survived. Some of our dumbest decisions ended up giving us just the luck we needed to make it out alive. Pa chuckled. I can relate to that. You know, when we first discovered this place, Ma and I thought it'd be a good idea to go for a swim in the oasis. After all, it looks positively paradisical. Every time we swam, we noticed shadows beneath us. Finally, unable to resist, I grabbed some snorkel gear and discovered an enormous plesiosaur under the water. Bubbles, Beau said with a smile. That's right. The first dinosaur we ever found. If it weren't for that dangerously stupid curiosity, we may never have fully discovered this magical place. If you do decide to, make dumb choices, take calculated risks, maybe it's best you don't always let us know. You're a smart boy, smarter than most of our counselors. I trust you to take the risks into consideration when you make your decisions. Noted. They reached the spring. Energy pulsed in the air. The counselors felt it for the first time. Wow, Kirby said under his breath. Dr. Rex shook his hands. Yowza! I feel like I've been using a jackhammer. Dr. Dribble approached the cave entrance with a beeping device. Is it in there? Pa asked him. Dribble looked back at him. I believe so. Good. Boom, if you would oblige. With a rare smirk, Boom popped his knuckles and marched up to the cave entrance. He pulled sticks of wired dynamite from his ammo belt and stuck them into the mud around the opening. Then he stepped back until he was just in front of the group. Ladder rip, Dr. Rex said. Boom held out two detonators and pressed the buttons. Kaboom! An explosion of fire, yellow rock, steam, and mud filled the clearing. The shockwave nearly knocked them to the ground. Boom laughed maniacally. A sinister hiss filled the air as the spring caved in on itself. Arms still outstretched, Boom continued to laugh. Yellow mud caked his crazed expression. Everyone looked at each other. Boom didn't stop laughing until Dr. Tweedle came up and put her hands on his shoulders. Only then did his laugh turn to giddy chuckles. Raising her eyebrows at the others, Tweedle patted Boom's back and escorted him away from the rubble. Well, he's obviously been holding that in for a while, Beau whispered to Gavin.
Guy needs more stuff to blow up.
They looked at Zeta, who was catching her breath.
Are you okay? Beau asked her. It's gone. All that energy, I can't feel it anymore.
Now that she mentioned it, Beau couldn't feel the spring's energy either. Those invisible vibrations had given way to the usual damp mugginess of the jungle. He no longer felt drawn to the spot. Instead, he found himself feeling empty. Little by little, toucans flew back into the surrounding trees. Their chirps replaced the spring's hiss.
That is a strange feeling, Beau said. Something's not right about this.
Zeta looked over the destruction.
You think we made a mistake? Gavin asked.
Zeta looked at them.
I don't know, but something tells me we may have just brought a curse upon ourselves.
Beau swallowed. Once they returned to camp, Ma and Pa insisted they follow through with the parade. despite recent events and the fact that it was the last day. While Helga made final adjustments to the floats, the rest of the campers enjoyed their end-of-camp feast in the galley. Joe did not disappoint. Bo's jaw dropped as they stepped into the ship's torpedo hole entrance. Standing in the middle of the cafeteria was a 2-story-tall gigantosaurus made of meatballs. Ripe red tomatoes were used as eyes, and baguettes were used for teeth. Swirling bundles of cooked spaghetti filled in the gaps. Kids were walking up to the incredible sculpture and plucking spaghetti and meatballs onto their plates. Sloppy Joe was waiting for them with a big pot full of her steaming homemade red sauce.
"Congratulations on surviving the beast,"
she sang as she poured ladles of sauce over their spaghetti. Bo grabbed a plate with Gavin and Zeta and plucked his dinner off the meaty giganto.
"Oh, good work, you three,"
Joe said as she poured sauce over their plates.
"How do you like the statue? Did I capture that horrible monster's essence?"
Bo gazed up at it and chuckled.
"I'd say, how'd you throw this together so fast?"
Joe tried to talk while pouring sauce on the other kids' plates. The result was her dumping red sauce on a lot of shoes.
"Oh, I didn't sleep a wink last night. So what better way to pass the time? Don't forget dessert."
She pointed her ladle at 3 huge cone-shaped cannolis made to look like the Spring of Ancients. White cream and chocolate chips oozed from the tops.
"I was going to make them erupt, but Mon Paul said it would be too messy,"
Joe lamented.
"Enjoy!"
Bo and his friends took a seat. Zeta's triplets were waiting anxiously at a table.
"Okay, you boneheads, dinner served."
She tossed each of them a meatball. One of the meatballs got stuck on Toot's horns. He tried in vain to bite at it. Zeta laughed.
"I've missed you, Tooter. Here, bon appetit."
She pulled the meatball off and tossed it into his mouth. Bo watched her tease and play with her dinos. He wished Buck was here to join them. He probably would have chomped off the head of Meatball Giganto and taunted the triplets with it. Bo imagined Buck bursting out of the cannoli Spring of Ancients and roaring, covered head to tail in cream. The thought made him smile. Gavin was looking around the galley.
"She's not here yet,"
Bo said, taking a bite of his food.
"What?" "Nix, she's not here. Don't worry, if she said she was coming to the parade, she'll come."
Gavin brushed his long hair aside and tried to play it cool.
"I know."
Dr. Rex walked over and sat next to Bo.
"Crikey, how about that giganto?"
He pointed to the meat sculpture with his thumb and shook his head.
"Joe's something else."
Bo smiled and nodded.
"Yeah, she is.
How you feeling?"
"I feel fine, but you wouldn't know it by how many bandages Dot wrapped around me."
Bo pulled up his shirt to reveal a thick layer of gauze.
"If I hadn't stopped her, she would have mummified me."
Dr. Rex laughed.
"No doubt. Make you sleep in a pyramid, too. Either way, she'll fix you up. She got my ankle fixed up in a jiff. You know, that was quite the move you pulled yesterday. Breaking that bracelet, scaring that giganto off."
Bo looked down at his plate.
It was more dumb luck than anything.
"Maybe. Even so, it was brave of you to step up like that. I'm sorry it wasn't me that had done it. It's our job to protect you, not the other way around."
Bo stabbed a meatball and pointed it at him.
"Sometimes it takes a few crazy kids to figure something out."
Dr. Rex looked them over and laughed.
"You're all cuckoo ca-choo, that's for sure.
What about the Gigantosaurus?"
"What about him?
How could a Gigantosaurus and a Tyrannosaurus Rex exist at the same time? I thought they were separated by millions of years. And those wacky dinos? I've never read anything about those."
Dr. Rex folded his arms and shrugged.
"Your guess is as good as mine, mate. That spring was full of surprises. That's the thing about being around living dinos. You learn how wrong we've been about a lot of things."
"Yeah, I guess."
Dr. Rex got up.
"Good on ya, all of ya. See ya at the parade."
"See ya." As Dr. Rex walked away, Ash walked over to the table with his raptor in tow. His hair was spiked with extra product, and he wore a nice collared shirt.
Hey, guys, I wanted to thank you for saving Jax.
Zeta looked at him surprised.
A carnivore expressing appreciation?
Ash smiled.
Don't get used to it.
Zeta rolled her eyes.
Oh, we won't.
Ash turned to Bo.
Where's your dino, Buzzhead?
Bo shrugged. Deep beneath the Tree of Knowledge, Dr. Dribble was sitting next to Pa in front of a computer. A bird's-eye view of the jungle was on the screen.
What exactly am I looking at, Arnold?
Pa put on a pair of glasses and squinted at the image. Dr. Dribble's long mustache frowned.
This is a ground-penetrating radar scan of the surrounding jungle. I managed to get my hands on a drone with GPR capability, but it wasn't cheap. I'll be sending you the invoice. Anyway, the instrument uses high-frequency radio waves to detect things underground. When the electromagnetic energy penetrates the ground and encounters a buried object, it bounces back up to the surface and sends the drone the info. Those data points are compiled to complete the visual.
Pa blinked at him.
Again, Arnold. What am I looking at?
Yes. See all those worm-like shapes fanning out along the map?
I do.
That is the Spring of Ancients cave system. That dot there is where the Spring of Ancients stood, and all this...
He gestured to a never-ending branch of dots.
These are tunnels stemming from the original cave entrance. They're big, too. The cavern network is extensive.
How extensive?
Dribble scrolled through the tinted image of the jungle with glowing dots beneath it.
I scanned 50 miles before turning the drone around.
50 miles? And it kept going?
It did. I have reason to believe this cave system extends far beyond the confines of Camp Dino or Camp Bakuza, for that matter. There are likely multiple entrances we don't know about.
But that would mean...
Pa slowly looked at Dr. Dribble. Dr. Dribble nodded.
There may be other herds living on the surface.
Mouth agape, Pa slumped back into his chair. Back on the camp's main path, Helga, dressed in her full armadillo shell armor, was lining up kids and dinos for the parade. Kids struggled to keep their dinos in line. Other counselors had stepped in to help. They handed out snacks and tightened leashes. Ma, wearing her favorite tiara, was showing Tony how to parade wave and adjusting his elbow until it was perfectly positioned. Zeta was near the back of the group in her Tricera chariot. Shoot, Toot, and Scoot had crowns of feathers around their horns. Gavin stood next to Echo and the other kids with flying dinos. He looked around anxiously for any sign of Nyx. Bo stood off by Ma and Pa's yurt near the camp entrance. He didn't see the point in participating since he didn't have Buck. So, he figured he'd find a good spot to watch it all. Once he was comfortable, he pulled a water bottle from his backpack and took a swig. He lifted his fedora and gave his buzzed head a couple of squirts to cool himself off. Initially, this whole parade idea seemed sort of lame. But now that he was seeing it come together, it was impressive. There was something inspiring about seeing all the dinosaurs lined up, standing side by side with their human counterparts. Bo wished he was standing there with Buck by his side. Kirby had promised Bo after he went home, he'd head out into the jungle to look for him. He imagined Buck and his mom running through the jungle together. Bo could almost hear the pounding of their feet. He tilted his head. That pounding wasn't in his imagination. It was getting louder.
The Bakuza have arrived,
Helga announced. Bakuza warriors, some wearing masks, came marching out of the trees. The first row beat dino skin drums strapped to their waists. Their march matched the rhythm of their drums. Behind them, a wagon pulled by a stegosaurus with colorfully painted backplates rolled out. The wagon carried a tall throne made of dinosaur bones, decorated with colorful red and yellow flowers. Sitting atop the throne was Nyx, Everyone's eyes bulged when they saw her. She looked amazing. Sitting tall, she wore a red dino skin dress with black stripes and a raptor claw crown with red feathers poking out of it. Bo, Zeta, and Gavin ran over to her.
"Wow, nice ride,"
Bo said, looking over her throne.
"Cool crown," Gavin added.
"Thank you." Nyx blushed and adjusted it on her head. "My people insisted I wear it."
"Your people?"
Gavin repeated. The phrase had a new ring to it. "Ever since the last chief perished, they have looked to me to lead. They say it is my birthright." Zeta smiled. "It all makes sense now. The guards, your duties."
"So you're like a warrior princess,"
Bo said in awe, just when he thought she couldn't get any cooler. Nyx chuckled.
"No, I am a servant to my people."
She looked at Gavin, who nodded. "What are you doing after the parade?" Zeta asked. Nyx looked up into her crown as she thought.
"I do not have anything going on. Want to climb the Tree of Knowledge? I ran a zipline from the top into the jungle."
Nyx smiled.
"I do not know what a zipline is, but yes, I would like that very much."
Helga blew a horn.
"To your positions!"
"Good luck, you guys,"
Bo said.
"I'll be cheering for you from the sidelines."
Zeta gave him a sympathetic look.
"Thanks, Bo."
Bo ran back to his viewing spot while the others got in position. Helga blew her horn again, and the Bakuza warriors banged on their drums. The parade began. A procession of kids waving on dinos marched through camp. Bo and the counselors waved back at them. Most of the first years walked alongside their dinos, leading them by a leash. The older kids with flying dinos circled overhead. Bo noticed that Gavin wasn't among them. Where did he go? A couple of girls riding atop brachiosauruses pulled a wagon with a miniature gathering hut made entirely of tropical fruit. Sloppy Joe no doubt had something to do with that one. Tuku and his band of furry misfits kept swooping in to steal bananas off it. Ash and the other raptor riders trotted behind them, showing off their raptor's speed by running circles around floats. Lightning bolts and flames had been painted on their sides. A giant drum made by Dr. Tweedle was pulled along by a group of kids on their parasaural offices. On either side of the sideways drum, ankylosauruses pounded it with their ball tails. Bo and the counselors marveled at the beautiful body paint designs on the dinos. Some were covered in bright handprints. Others had swirls and splashes of color. One Spinosaurus had a sunset painted on its fin. Several kids rode by on their Gallimimuses that were painted with polka dots. From the sidelines, Dr. Tweedle waved proudly to a group of kids playing flutes while riding by on their dinos. They didn't sound great, but that didn't keep her from wiping a tear from her eye. There were a couple more impressive floats that rolled by. One was made to look like the arena and had several kids doing tricks and drills with their dinos on it. Another looked like a big bamboo box. But when it reached the counselors, the top burst open and four kids came flying out on their pterodactyls, showering everyone with flowers. Next, Zeta rode by in her Tricera chariot. Shoot, Scoot, and Toot looked amazing with their crowns of feathers, and Zeta looked nearly as regal as Nyx. She stood like a stoic warrior in her rolling trash can and saluted the counselors. The counselors jumped to their feet and saluted back. Once the last of the dinos had passed, Bo saw one person left. He was walking and stopping behind the procession. Bo rubbed his eyes and looked again to make sure he wasn't seeing things. Gavin, with a shovel and bucket, was following the parade and scooping up dino droppings. All the counselors shared a shocked expression. Gavin didn't look up at them. He was too focused on the task at hand. Going from pile to pile, he shoveled up the droppings and filled his bucket. Bo shook his head and clapped.
That might have been the most impressive display of the whole parade. A roar echoed from the jungle. Bo turned to see Buck come running out of the trees. Bo jumped to his feet.
Buck?
Buck howled and charged toward him. Mama Rex stomped out of the trees close behind. Both T-Rexes showed no signs of slowing down. Bo's smile faded.
Whoa, Buck. What are you doing? Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Bo turned away and ducked.
Chomp!
Buck bit onto Bo's backpack and yanked him off the ground. The red T-Rex charged on, running by the counselors and the rest of the parade, holding Bo's backpack in his teeth. Bo hung from the arm straps and flailed like a puppet. His hat flew off his head.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Buck ran harder and harder. Stunned kids and dinos blurred by. Bo could hear Mama Rex's stomping feet behind them. They passed the parade and continued into the jungle. Where was Buck taking him? Trees zipped by on either side. Buck huffed and puffed. Bo bounced up and down. The trees opened to a wetland field. A flock of white birds flew up out of their way. Behind them, over the canopies, the top of the gathering hut, sleep trees, and Dr. Sky's nest could be seen. With a hard jerk of his head, Buck flung Bo high into the air.
Buck! Whoa!
The thump, the thump, the thump! Mama Rex swooped in and caught Bo on her back. Bo grabbed on. Mama Rex and Buck continued their charge through the grassy field. Bo looked down through yellow scales with black stripes under his hands. He could feel muscles stretch and tighten beneath him with every stride. At first, his instinct was to cling to her back and hang on for dear life. But then, Dr. Sky's words came to him. Embrace the energy. Use it. Don't let it use you. Images of him standing on the net as the pterodactyls flew by flashed into his mind. Letting out a long, slow breath, he slowly got his feet under him. Keeping his feet wide and staggered, he stood. Wind whipped at his clothes. His knees bent and straightened with every rocking motion of Mama Rex's back. From up here, Bo could see over the trees. He felt like he was on top of the world. Running at Mama Rex's side, Buck looked up at him and roared. Bo threw his fists in the air. Mama Rex roared. Back under Bo's sleep tree, the ugly yellow egg with green spots twitched. It moved again, and this time a little crack appeared on its surface. Another wobble, and another. More cracks split across the shell.
Crack!
A big flake of shell lifted, strings of slime clinging to its edges. As the piece of shell slowly slid away, a big, blue, scaly head emerged from the egg. It was the head of a T-Rex. A female T-Rex.
Rocketeers, I hope you enjoyed that season finale of Camp Dino in the Spring of Ancients. I had a blast coming back to Camp Dino. If I could, I'd maybe just keep doing a bunch of Camp Dino seasons. Just keep going back over and over and over again. I'm sure we'll come back, Rocketeers, but for now, there's some other stories I want to tell. But I hope you had fun with that season. Share it with your friends. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. And to all those who are supporting the podcast through the Rocketeer Club, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, my mom, Roxanne Webb, for helping edit the stories. And as always, Jeremy from Zappods.com for helping edit the audio. Till next time, Rocketeers, this is your host, Greg Webb.